Quote the old man, pushing the buttons on the other side of the glass, rock and roll. Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. The program is entitled The Jungle. We are live in Southern California, and this show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The B team is in. It's Thursday. Alvin is off. So what that means is if you happen to be watching on CBS Sports Network, what you see in the front row is none other than yesterday's phenom, the host, Rit. You're wearing a tie today, old man. How about not yesterday? Yesterday you were on the air. You hosted a segment. No tie? You wore a tie. All right, 2 days in a row. Way to go. So the way it sets up is I've got Rit to my left, and moving from my left to my right, then there's the big head. James Kelly is in. Adam Hawk has moved into the back row. We do this on Thursdays because Alvin works from home. All right, the show sets up like this. This Thursday, I've got the head football coach at Indiana, Tom Allen. That's coming up next segment, so we're about 20 minutes out of that. In hour number two, a college football writer for The Athletic, Bruce Feldman. In hour number three, Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker podcast. So we've got a ton of college football, a lot of pro football. I've got episode number 147 of the Jim Rome podcast, which is already live. Buzz Williams, the head basketball coach at Texas A&M, is a tremendous listen. Great, great guest. So that's already live. Do me a favor. Don't listen to it right now. Wait until after the program. Maybe when you're at the gym, maybe during your commute, maybe over the weekend. Make sure you get to that. Just don't do it right now. Look at the TV guys. With the T's, I love that. The full page, as I'm talking about that. Man, New York is on it. On it. 1-800-636-8686. Also, if you want to shoot me an email, you can do that at Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveTake.com. And social media works brilliantly. Hit me on Twitter at Jim Rome. All right, all of that said, let's start with the NLCS. Now, remember I said yesterday, if you had to sum up Bills-Titans in one single image, it had to be Derrick Henry and that stiff arm of Josh Norman. So, if you had to sum up game three of the NLCS in a single image, imagine like a Derrick Henry stiff arm on Josh Norman times 15. That's how bad that was. LA, 11. Atlanta, nothing. But that was not the final score. That was the score after the top half of the first inning. So if you were one of those people, because the game got an early start, and maybe you flipped it on, or maybe you reached for your phone, and you saw that score, especially if you're a Dodger fan, 11-0 after half inning. You had to be thinking, dang, that can't be right. Well, that was right. That's how that went. That was not the final score. So to the question of whether or not the Dodgers' bats had woke up at the end of game two, the answer was yes. Hell yes.
Hell yes!
Mookie Betts started things off with an infield single. Well, actually, he started things off with an out that was ruled a hit on review because he just beat the throw. You got to keep that in mind. That's a really critical point right there, which I will get back to. Corey Seager follows that up with an RBI double. Nice start. Gets something on the board early on. But then Justin Turner and Max Muncy grounded out. So that kind of was a buzzkill for the Dodgers, right? You want to jump on these guys early on, especially when you're down 2-0. For a moment, it looked like it was going to be a mug job, but then suddenly Braves starting pitcher Kyle Wright has got a chance to work out and limit the damage. You know, get that last out and then let your bats go to work. Except he was not able to get that last out because then Will Smith doubled to left, driving in Seager. Then Cody Bellinger walked and then Jock Peterson stepped in.
Well, how big is this inning going to be? Right now, that's up to Kyle Wright and Jock Peterson.
Here's a shot into left center field, back at the wall, it's gone. What a start for the Dodgers. Jock Peterson goes deep. And it's a five-run first inning, thanks now to a three-run shot by Peterson.
That was key, right? Fox. And Joe Buck said it before, like, how big of an inning is this going to be? It'll be up to Wright, Gonzo. 5-0 Dodgers. Down 2-0. Now that's the start they had to have. That's the start that they had to have, and that start was not even complete because Edwin Rios was up next.
All of this starting on that close play at first
Here is a shot to center by Rios. Back at the wall. That is gone. Wow. 6-0. Dodgers on top. And have they been waiting for this type of outburst?
6-0. You had to feel pretty good about that. Dodgers money line bet, right? Had to feel pretty good about that start. 6-0. Chris Taylor walks. Wright gets yanked from the game after only 2/3 of an inning. That's not good. In fact, if you don't make it out of the first inning of your start, that's below not good.
Below not good.
Mookie Betts comes up for his second at bat in the first inning. So now they've battered around. Betts gets a walk. Then Corey Seager comes up again.
Seager bangs one to center field. That's going to drop in for a base hit. Taylor comes in to score, and Betts slides in safely at third. The Dodgers lead it 7-0, and we're not finished with the first.
No, definitely not. Justin Turner, who was the first out of the inning, comes right back. He gets hit by a pitch. So guys are getting their second at-bats of the first inning, and they're making the most of them. As an example, Max Muncy. Muncy made the second out of the inning. Muncy was not about to be the guy who made two of the three outs in the greatest postseason inning ever. Hell no, Muncy was not. So instead, he did this.
The bases are loaded, and the batter is Max Muncy with two out here in the first inning. Here's a fly ball into right center field. Back at the wall. It is gone. Grand slam. And the first inning is historic. 11 runs on the board for the Dodgers as they are just dropping bombs here in the first inning.
Historic and insane. And the insanity finally ended when Will Smith struck out looking. But by that point, that game was already over. Like, Atlanta had not even picked up the bats yet, and the game was already over. Even the arsonists in the L.A. bullpen could not blow an 11-0 lead. Hell, I wouldn't have been surprised if Dave Roberts started to make defensive substitutions in the bottom half of the first. And yet, they still weren't done. They still weren't done. There was still more. There was Cody Bellinger in the second.
Could be called.
Here's one into right. Back at the wall. It is gone off the bat of Bellinger. Home run number 4 on the night for the Dodgers. And Bellinger is finding that stroke.
All of that, and we're still in the second inning. And then Corey Seager had to do this in the third.
Corey Seager, who's 2-for-2, 3-run homer and an RBI double and a run scored in his last two plate appearances last night. And he just touches one off. Wow! In a Dodger lineup that is suddenly absolutely red hot, he is the hottest one.
All right, so never seen anything like that because nothing like that had ever happened before. 11-0 at the end of the top half of the first. An MLB record for most runs in a postseason inning. 10 of those runs came with 2 outs, which is insane and clutch. And I go back to that first point. Had Betts not beaten that ball out, had he not hustled down to first the way he did, that inning is over before it even starts. Then the game is completely different, and we might be talking about a completely different series. But he beat the throw. Then he scored, and then the route was on. Do not overlook what that hustle play meant. What that meant for that game, what that might mean for the entire year. Jock Peterson knows.
Some reason that just lit a match in everyone, and we were excited and just ran with that momentum.
So they didn't just put up 15 in the first 3 innings. They're also the first team in postseason history with 5 home runs in the first 3 innings. That was a beatdown to end all beatdowns. Atlanta wandered out into traffic last night, and they got dragged by an 18-wheeler. After having their offense kept under wraps for the first 15 innings of that series, suddenly a fight breaks out at the bat rack. Everybody wanted to get a shot during that 15-3 win. So for the Dodgers, what that was the ultimate get-right game. Of course, the question is, does that carry over to tonight? Because that was the question after that Game 2 loss. Did that big 9th inning carry over to Game 3? It did. What about last night? Does that carry over to tonight and the rest of the series? Like, they're still down 2-1. And while tonight is not an elimination game, I'm going to argue that for LA, it's a must-win game. You don't want to fall behind these guys 3-1. It's not an elimination game, but to me, it is a must-win game. just so all you Dodger honks know, this is not an easy hill to climb. It's been 35 years since a team won the NLCS after losing the first two games. 35 years. But if you're going to do it, there are worse ways to do it than to beat your opponent into submission in Game 3 and then send Clayton Kershaw out to the bump for Game 4. Especially when it's Kershaw going up against Bryce Wilson, who has pitched less than 43 innings in his entire MLB career and is coming in after not pitching for a half a month. LA Bats woke up late on Tuesday night. They were live as hell last night, and they need to stay there tonight. In other words, not dead, can't quit. Not dead, can't quit. Lose tonight, and they're probably dead. But if Kershaw does his job, that's going to go a long way towards changing his postseason narrative, and it could save the Dodgers' entire season. And then who knows how many jobs, too. Not dead, can't quit. Now we have ourselves a series. 1-800-636-8686. Here's a Woj bomb right in the middle of the open. Woj tweets, Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey is stepping down. That's a Woj bomb right there. All right, so major shakeup with the Rockets, coach and GM. 1-800-636-8686. Let's talk NLCS. Dodger fan, are you feeling better about things? How much better about things? How do you feel about Clayton Kershaw taking the ball after being shut down in Game 2? He had back spasms, and now we'll see him in Game 4 with the season on the line, and it is. I also want to get into the ALCS. The Astros live to fight another day. I want to talk some SEC football. We've been talking all week long about the game of the year. Bama and Georgia. Come to find out, Nick Saban tested positive for COVID-19. Apparently, aside from the coach and the AD, there are no other positive tests. Not a single player, no other staffers. The game is set to go off, and Saban is in quarantine and coaching from his home via Zoom. And he's prepared for the game. He's not quite sure of the rules. He doesn't know whether or not he can communicate with the team during the game. I can help you with that, Nick. The answer is no. So I'll have that story for you a little bit later on. I want to talk some MMA. Well, looky here. Conor McGregor is back. And it looks as if Conor is going to have an actual UFC fight. Not an exhibition, not a boxing match, an actual UFC fight against an actual UFC fighter.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker! The king is back!
I hope, man. I really hope that the king is back. I'm not convinced, but I hope the king is back. So I've got that. And a whole lot more. 1-800-636-8686. Some quick reaction as well. Mark in Hollywood is in. His tweet reads, get ready to F and roll, Tide. Let's go.
Get ready to ride on, baby. Let's go.
Signed at Cuddy after Nicky said he was faking Rona to give a shot at the job next year. Give him a shot at the job next year. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anybody, Mark, who fakes, quote, Rona. But I'm pretty sure that if anybody were to fake the Rona, it would not be Nick Saban. It's kind of weird, right? That we are in the midst of a global pandemic. There are other programs that have been affected dramatically by, quote, the Rona. It seems a little unusual to me that Nick Saban, and again, anybody can get this. It is a global pandemic. Extremely contagious. I could see where anybody could get it. It just seems a little unusual to me that Nick Saban and the AD got it, but none of the players did. And none of the staff did. Yet. We'll see. Rome Slice. I just want to kiss you. I couldn't care less if the Braves are struggling. Regards Rome to Janet on his birthday after his sixth Michelob Ultra.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
Geoff and Lincoln. Hey. By the way, Geoff, not that I've had six Ultras in my entire life, but I bet that if I did have six Ultras in a single night, I bet I wouldn't even get frisky. I bet it wouldn't even do that for me. I bet that I wouldn't go, I don't care if the Braves are struggling. Kiss me. I've had six ultras.
I'm struggling.
Hey, Rome. The Braves have obviously not heard your train PSA. Casey in New Hampshire. Let me tell you something. Trains can't stop. You may think they can. They cannot stop. They're much closer than you think. It's no joke either. There's a reason why I read that public service announcement. If people were not dying, it wouldn't be there for me to read. There's a reason I read that. Don't make light of that. Rit. Come on, old man. You're feeling yourself, aren't you? Rich is flying around, man. She's taking a victory lap. Look at me. How'd I do yesterday? Wait, I have the answer. I was amazing. Ask me. When we come back, the head football coach at Indiana, Tom Allen, is my guest. More college football with Bruce Feldman at the top of hour number two. So when you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you are talking to somebody who is not just sitting there waiting for their turn to speak, but somebody who actually wants to hear what you have to say because they are focused on you. Ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You're in a 4.5 minute break.
Welcome back. As I mentioned, a Woj bomb. ESPN reporting that Daryl Morey is stepping down as Rockets GM. So a major shakeup on that team. All right, more on that coming up in a moment. But as promised, we are joined right now by the head football coach at Indiana, entering his fourth full season as Hoosiers head coach. Led Indiana to 8 wins and a bowl game last year. 8 wins were the most since 1993. 5 conference wins were the most since 1987. Indiana opens up against number 9, Penn State. At Indiana, October 24th, we are joined by Hoosiers head coach Tom Allen. Tom, nice to have you back. How are you?
Great to be back on your show. I'm doing awesome.
Good, good. Good to have you back. Now, you and I last spoke in November when you were in the middle of a great season. Obviously, so much has happened in the world since then. What was the offseason like for both you and the team?
Well, very unique, that's for sure. You know, started off normal and got through 8 weeks of offseason training, and then obviously spring ball started, got into 4 days, and that's when everything changed. So it's been very segmented. That's been the biggest difference. You know, guys been apart way more than normal. But once we got back together, thought that was really good. As we brought guys back systematically, had a great plan for that. But then we got paused a couple times and then started the season and got paused again. And so that part's been the challenging, the starting and stopping and just trying to get your guys mentally and physically ready. But it's, we're all in the same boat. Everybody's been fighting the same battle. So we're just trying to get ready for game day.
Right. We're talking to Indiana head football coach Tom Allen. Now, I know you're focused on the here and now, but at the same time, as you told The Athletic, there was a period of time after last season where, as good as last season was, you were thinking about how much better it could have even have been, about how you could have won that bowl game, about the losses to Michigan State and Penn State. What kind of thoughts were you having at that time?
Well, you know, you just go back and you evaluate. You know, you know the history of the program and how close we were to winning an unprecedented amount of games here, you know, to have so many close games. Yeah, we won some close games for sure, so you got to go back and that balances it out as well. But you look at the, you know, I seem to look at the ones, you know, the Michigan State game that we didn't finish. And then you mentioned the bowl game was one that I just really, you know, just frustrates the way you finish. And so you go back and you try and reevaluate what do you do to be able to correct those opportunities and create change. And so we made a video about it, you know, go back and just talking about, you know, being so close and having one more and having that be the case no more. And had the guys realize in those 3 key games that we didn't finish on, and then showed them the 3 games where we did finish, you know, to create the 8 wins in the regular season that hadn't happened in a long time. So you got to be able to go back and reflect and to just keep building, because I believe the best is yet to come for Indiana football.
We're talking to Tom Allen. You know, that's really interesting to me. Like, when you talk about building, when you're building a program the way you're building that program, and you have a season like the one you had last year, you would think that coming into the spring, you'd want to build on that momentum. But then, of course, the pandemic sets in and everything changes. So I'm curious, when you're building something the way you are and you've got that momentum, and then it stops suddenly and you can't see everybody face to face, how do you maintain that? How do you continue with that build?
Yeah, it's a great question, you know. And but I tell you what I told our team was this: we don't blink. You know, those things that happen, we had no control. We were out there practicing away, and all of a sudden spring ball gets canceled. You don't blink. And they cancel classes. We don't blink. Then we end up having a summer that was basically completely canceled for a while. We don't blink. And we come back to fall camp, and we have to do everything a different way. We've been doing everything by Zoom, and we just don't get flustered by the things we can't control. And that's a part of our program philosophy. It's how we kind of got to this point, and playing such a tough schedule every single year, being in Big Ten East and being in the situation we're in here. We just don't, it's that don't blink mindset. And so we try to let your core values and who you are, the accountability, toughness, and love that I believe in so much, you want that to come shining through. And LEO, which I believe in, you know, with so much passion about, that's how you build a great team. So those core things that we believe in and those things you have as your foundation of your program, they help you through these tough times.
I like that. Indiana head football coach Tom Allen is joining us. So, of course, you're not going to ease into anything, right? You've got number 9 Penn State right out of the gate. You said the other day that when you think about their talent, quote, to me, those are the kind of things that make me not sleep at night and make me pretty restless. That's been growing as kickoff gets closer. Hey, listen, nobody wants to lose sleep, right? But in a way, do you find that you appreciate that lack of sleep and worrying about an opponent in ways that maybe you did not appreciate that before?
Well, there's no question, you know, when things are taken away from you, and just the fact that we, you know, thought we may not even have a season, you're very, very excited about those sleepless nights that the season is going to create for you. So we embrace it. Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, you play teams like a caliber of a Penn State, every mistake you make can be a big play in special teams, on defense, on offense. And so, yeah, that's definitely what keeps you up at night. But, yeah, you're right. It's all about perspective. And I think the whole country's realized that when things are taken away from you, you realize how blessed we are to have what we have. So we're going to take every moment, enjoy it, and take full advantage of it.
We're talking Indiana football. The head coach, Tom Allen, is joining us. You know, I mentioned some of the numbers, what they were like before you arrived and what they've been like since you've been there. And then you've got the recruitment of Taiwan Mullen, who wrote down numbers on a sheet of paper. What was that moment like for you, and what did that tell you about him?
Well, I tell you what, it made me choke up, man. I got emotional. I got, I knew we had the right guy, but I tell you, man, what about that kind of mindset? You know, and when I got here, I talked about, you know, changing the way this program is perceived. And, with, you know, before there's a reality, there's a mentality. I believe in that very strongly and say it all the time to our players. And he's a guy that bought in, you know, and he did his research, you know, the 52-26-10, the thing that really was such a big part of me saying, hey, this is our history. You know, think about the history and in your past. And those things aren't predictive unless you don't make changes. And so, and I wanted to make changes. And I wanted to be able to realize, hey, this is where we are. This is where we want to be. And he's a young man that wants to help us get there. So I'm looking this country for guys like Taiwan Mullen to say, coach, I believe in what you're building there. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a guy that comes here and makes those history-changing plays.
Yeah, like, right? Like, what's it mean to you to hear that from a player? Because he's not the only one. You've recruited players that could have gone elsewhere. It's one thing for these guys to have other opportunities. It's one thing for these guys to come in and buy in, but it's another for them to say, I want to be here and I want to change the culture. I want people to look back on what we did and how we set this up for the others to come after us. What's it mean when you have more than one guy like that in the locker room? In fact, you've got a bunch of guys like that.
We do. It means a whole lot, you know, and I always tell our guys, you know, it's not what I believe, it's what do you believe, because I'm not out there making plays, you know, it's what do you believe, how are you going to prepare, you know, what are you willing to do to get what you want, and to have multiple guys on this football team that have chosen to come to Indiana when they could have gone other places and maybe could have gone to a place that was more established, per se, but I love those guys that got that chip on their shoulder and something to prove, and he wanted to come here and be a part of the build. And he and many, many others. And Michael Penix is a guy that could have gone to a lot of other places. You know, but he chose to come here. He wanted to be a part of the history-changing opportunity that this place gave him. And that excites me. Like you said, those guys are the key. It's all about players. This is a player-driven situation. We're relationship-driven as a staff, and I love these guys. It just means so much to me that they believe in what we're doing here, and they want to be a part of it.
So finally, Tom, you've got that winning season from last year, so that box is checked. You were very close to getting that bowl win. I know how badly you wanted that one and how you're in pursuit of that. What does the next step in this program look like to you?
Well, you know, I've talked about it with our team, and that is beating top 25 teams. You know, we've been so close, and we're blessed to have the chance to play a bunch of them every year. And this year's no different. And so the opportunity to put ourselves in those positions to be able to finish those games, we've shown we can compete in those games, but finish them is the next step. And being able to allow us. And once you start doing that, and those things, everything else just kind of falls into place. So to me, that's the mindset. That's the expectation. And as you mentioned, that bowl game win is something that means a whole lot to this program, to our fan base, and to our players. So that's a huge next step for us as well.
Once again, Indiana had 8 wins and a bowl game appearance last year. The 8 wins were the most since 1993. 5 conference wins, the most since 87. And they do open up the year against number 9, Penn State, at home on October 24th. Indiana head coach Tom Allen, my guest. Tom, great to have you back. Appreciate the energy, appreciate the thoughts, and good luck against Penn State.
Thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate you having me. Have a great day.
You too. You got it. Have a great day, Tom Allen. College coaches, can't get enough of it, but especially, I hate to say this, but especially in the midst of the pandemic, I mean, everybody's coming with a new energy, a new sense of perspective, and they're getting after it. And it's been really curious to hear the way they've approached the challenge. I get a lot of inspiration from that. You know, the folks who are saying, man, this is hard. This is hard. And it's getting old and it's beating us down. But we got to find a way to kind of flip it on its head. Get through this. You know, the only way out is straight through. And you get that message quite a bit from college coaches. And that's a big matchup. Indiana and Penn State. Indiana came so close last year to accomplishing every single goal. But they're coming off a big year, and they've got an opportunity. He said the next step is we got to beat top 25 teams. Well, they'll get that opportunity against Penn State. Top of the hour, I've got Bruce Feldman. Hour number 3, I've got Ross Tucker. I want to get into my conversation I had with Buzz Williams, which is tremendous. I want to talk Conor McGregor. There was a time not long ago when Conor McGregor was the biggest thing in the world, and then he wasn't. And now I wonder what his next act looks like. You know, where does Conor go from here? Is Conor still that gladiator? Is he still that guy? The thing that made him so amazing, does he still have that it? Or to Dana White's point, do you kind of lose that it once you put $100 million in the bank? Nick Saban tested positive for COVID-19. How is that going to impact Bama and Georgia? I want to get into all of that too. Some quick reaction before I go to break. Jim, I'm glad Tom Allen took my ideals of don't blink mentality and garnered a huge success. He's doing a hell of a job. But, of course, I saw that coming a mile away because I never miss a thing, you know, by not blinking. Regards, Adam Gase. Jake in New York City. Nate in Appleton tweets, Conor McGregor can just go away. He's like that fly that you cannot kill. Always around and just a pain in the ass.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
Hi, Jim. Enough about the Dodgers. What did you do for your birthday? What did you get? Did you have a beverage? Thanks. Bella B. in Calgary. All right, Bella, I can help you with that. You did start the conversation yesterday. I can tell you, in response to what did I get, I got a haircut. But then I do that on Wednesdays, generally. Did I have a drink? Bella, you will not believe what I consumed yesterday for my birthday. And again, you know I never break format. I never deviate. Not only did I have a drink, I had multiple drinks. And not only did I have multiple drinks. Look at you like that, big head. Not only that, you will not believe what I consumed. Red wine. Dude, I drank wine. Never, ever, ever, ever. Had to get my oxidants in there, you know? Antioxidants, I should say. Obviously, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about because I don't drink it. I'm trying to achieve my oxidants. I'm trying to attain the oxidants. No, man, a couple of glasses of red wine with Jano. Does that answer all the questions? What did I get? I got a haircut. What did I drink? A little bit of red wine midweek. And I watched the Dodger beat down and did my prep and did my thing. However, I used it as a recovery day. There was no workout yesterday. So that's how the midweek birthday went. Solid day. Flight Deck is asking, what did I eat? Let me think. I had a couple of glasses of red wine, so I got to think. What did I eat yesterday for the birthday dinner? Oh, Logue's. Logue's barbecued a steak. I didn't do a damn thing, man. I had my feet up, laptop open, Dodgers, NFL, prep, thinking about my NFL and CBS hit on Sunday, little red wine. It's a good day. Really good day. All right, when we come back, we are with an open segment. Then I've got Bruce Feldman at the top of the hour. I do want to talk MMA. I'm going to jump right into that. Conor McGregor has got a fight. A legitimate fight. A fist fight. So where does that leave him? What's that matchup look like? And can we expect this guy to go back to being the guy that he was? Or is that guy never coming around ever again? I want to speculate on that. First up, though, here is a bottom of the hour.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday, it is week six of the NFL on CBS, and most of you are going to see a big-time AFC Central matchup, Baker Mayfield. And America's team going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Other regional action as well. The day gets underway with James Brown. And the fellas breaking down all the hottest topics around the league. The NFL today starting at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific Sunday on CBS. And I will be making an appearance. I've got my assignment from Drew Kalisky. So I'll have my views from Rome. That is Sunday, 12 noon Eastern and 9 Pacific. Another big weekend in the NFL. All right, Saturday though. Big weekend of college football, SEC ball. Now, the SEC in and of itself has had itself a week now. There was that announcement earlier in the week of positive COVID tests at Vanderbilt, the forced postponement of the Vandy-Missouri game. Then there was the news from Lane Kiffin that his team was dealing with a bunch of positive tests as well. Then you had the news that Florida had 21 positive tests among its players, and that forced the postponement of Florida-LSU. And yes, those tests at Florida and the postponement of that game were quite a plot twist, given that Dan Mullen had been calling for the fans to, quote, pack the swamp a few days prior. He walked that back yesterday. You think? He walked that back. And walking it back was the right call. I mean, I understand the enthusiasm and wanting to have your crowd behind you. But how about we don't pack anything during a pandemic? As if the postponement of two SEC games were not enough. Then the most shocking news of all, Alabama announced that Nick Saban and athletic director Greg Byrne had tested positive for COVID. Saban had this to say in the form of a statement.
But I was informed early this afternoon that I had a positive test for COVID-19 on a PCR test. At this point, I'm completely asymptomatic, feel fine. Our medical officials have told me as long as I remain asymptomatic, I will have a daily PCR testing per SEC protocol to confirm the initial positive.
That's Nick Saban. So at this point, I mean, you have to say no positive COVID should be considered a surprise at all. Again, we're talking about a virus. We're talking about a pandemic. And if there is no bubble, there are going to be positive tests. And there will be cancellations, and this is to be expected. Yet, for some reason, Nick Saban's positive test is like a surprise. I mean, I guess it shouldn't be, but it is. We've got to be talking about the most protected human being in the state of Alabama, right? And for him to swab positive right now, just days before facing Georgia in the biggest game of the year, man, that seems weird to me. Even at this time, even with this virus, even during a pandemic, I don't know. It's almost like he's Teflon, like not Saban. How can Nick Saban get it or anything? But then the fact is, it's not crazy, right? The crazy part was thinking that the SEC was not going to have positive tests, that the SEC would not postpone games, that it was not going to have coaches missing games, because Saban is going to miss that game Saturday. When he met with the media via Zoom, he said that he had been careful, but last week's road trip in Oxford, Mississippi might have been where he picked it up.
I think as soon as you travel, you get exposed to a lot more things and a lot more people.
Right. There is something to that. Right. Travel is when you break your routine. Travel is when you break your personal bubble. Travel is when you come in contact with much more people. Florida's spike in positive tests came, for instance, after their trip to Texas A&M. But Saban also tried to make the point. Even though this is coming just days before a massive game against another one of his former assistants, he really has not changed up much at all.
I can do absolutely everything here. I'll have the same exact routine. You know, the first thing I do on Thursday morning is watch the defense and practice with the defense. Then we do 2-minute and 2-point plays. Then I watch what we did against each other with the offense. Then I watch the offensive practice. Then I watch special teams. Then I usually do a little write-up for 2-minute and 2-point plays for the team. I'll do all those things exactly like I always do it.
So I see this guy working. He wants to make sure that nothing changes, or as close to nothing as possible. He even went into detail about how he was handling guys who made mistakes in practice, even if he was not physically there for the practice.
I watched practice today. I had the manager had a phone. If I wanted a play repeated, I said, repeat that play. So-and-so messed up. So I didn't leave the country or anything. I'm just right down the street, and we have this technology. So we're going to do the best we can to keep everything normal.
That's pretty good. I didn't leave the country. Nick Saban watching practice via video conference and picking up the phone when he's pissed about a bad rep is a pretty remarkable look. Not quite as insane as, for instance, Hugh Freeze coaching from a hospital bed in a booth in a press box, but this is still pretty good. Like, I know everybody is kind of numb to this thing right now, but just go back 12 months. Go back 12 months. Go back to last season. What if I told you that Nick Saban would not be on the sideline for the biggest game of the year? What if I told you that he was going to monitor practice and get into guys via Zoom? Would you have even known what Zoom was? What if I told you that for the biggest regular season game of the year, that Saban was going to be at home and Steve Sarkisian was going to lead the Crimson Tide? Saban also talked about the question of whether or not he will be able to communicate directly with his coaches during that game. You know, can he have a Zoom window up? Can he have a G-chat with them? Can he send them some DMs? Can he patch directly into his headsets or their headsets? He's not sure. Saban said, we'll have to figure it out.
We'll have to research and sort of figure that one out.
I got you covered, Nick. You don't have to do anything of the sort. I've already got your answer, and the answer is no. No, you cannot. Let me read from the 2020 NCAA football play interpretations. Quote, Rule 1411B is very specific and allows only voice communication between the press box and the team area. Therefore, a coach could not call into the press box or sideline for anything related to coaching purposes. End of quote. So what that means is Sark and company are on their own for the biggest game of the regular season. Saban is going to be back home in quarantine, shoveling Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies into his pie hole. We call that nervous pie holing. And yes, can you imagine Saban? Saban and the AD swab positive, but nobody else did? None of the players? None of the staffers? Only Saban and the AD. Nobody else, at least not yet. So, if that holds, we've got ourselves a ball game. A game that the greatest coach in the history of the sport has to watch from home and can't coach from home. He has to watch from home because, well, 2020, the wackest year of them all. Hey, Bama fan, get ready!
Get ready!
Because it's going to be fun. Big one, Sark. Get ready. Arguably the biggest one of the year. Number two against number three. 1-800-636-8686. I mean, I guess, again, we should not be surprised. It is a global pandemic. We know about the virus. But I'm almost surprised that Saban swabbed positive, especially since nobody else did. It's one thing if you've got 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 in the program. Just he and his boss. Well, check that. His boss is Miss Terry. He has no boss. The boss, the coach, and the AD. SA Sports Honk tweets, hey, Rome, if sick Naban wanted to watch his entire practice, he should have just borrowed our film crew. Sign the Patriots. He and the hood are tight. Romy. Well, what kind of wine did you have? What year was it? Did you swish it around in your mouth like mouthwash? Signed, Wine Snobs. Mike in Door County. You know, it's not where I live. The best I can tell you, I don't even know what it was. I think it was a Pinot, but I don't know what kind. I don't know what year. No, I did not swish it around in my mouth. I didn't jam my nose into the glass. I didn't swish it around the glass. I don't do any of that stuff. Just red wine. Way to go, Rit. And Hitman Canadian tweets, war IRA putting a fly swatter to his face as a Zoom call. All right. So looking ahead to the second hour, more of your stupidity, I'm sure. Luckily, Bruce Feldman will be joining us. It's a wild week in the SEC and in college football. Georgia, Bama, Nick Saban, swabs positive. And we will get his thoughts on all of that. We already talked to Tom Allen, the head football coach at Indiana. They're getting ready for Penn State, who was ranked in the top 10. Ross Tucker will be joining me in hour number three. I want to talk ALCS. I want to talk Conor McGregor. Sports and politics, I may or may not get to. Buzz Williams. I definitely want to talk about that. The podcast I did with Buzz is exceptional. So all of that's coming up in hour number two. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Phone lines are still open. 1-800-636-8686.